And the most intimate contact one had was in 1955, when we all went for a sahwas with Baba. This was in Mehrabad, and it was just a Parsi sahwas. And as I said, Parsis have got two specialities with them. One, they eat well and they want to enjoy life. Well, I have both of them. And all of us were there with Baba, and for 5 days we really had an intimate contact with Baba. Sahwas means an intimate contact. And we really, that was the time when I really felt Baba was something, you know. And there were many things that happened. If you've read the book called Listen Humanity, that gives you a full description of these 5 days that we were there with Baba. Don Stevens had arrived there. He had never seen Baba using the board. And he wanted Baba to use the board. And Baba had already given up the board, but he said, just because of you, I'll use the board. And he brought the board out, and he just pointed one full sentence on the board. And he was taking a movie of that, and he felt happy about it. Well, he was there all through the 5 days also, and really we enjoyed being with Baba that time. Every morning, Baba would be with us, giving us discourses, talks or the other, or sometimes playing games. One of the favorite games that Baba played with us over there was seven tiles. You know what is seven tiles? Well, the seven tiles are piled on, pieces of tiles are piled on each, one on each other. And there are two parties, and one fellow strikes it and tries to break that pile. And if he strikes it, they run away, and then they come and try and put the pile up again, and that's 1 point for that side. And if you are caught while you're throwing the ball, you have to just bounce it once. And the opposite party catches it, means you're out. And I remember playing with Baba this game, and he would roll up his sleeves and roll up his long sadra, as we call it, the daman, and put it into his pajamas here, and he would really play well. Nobody could catch Baba, because if you had to throw the ball like that, anybody at the opposite party would catch. But Baba would never throw the ball like that. He would bend so low and throw it at such speed that no one could catch that ball, you know. And most times he broke that pile, and then they would be all running and shouting and screaming, and oh, it was real fun. And then Baba used to play marbles also with us, you know, marbles, small ones. He is real good, you know, this type of, I don't know how you all play here, if you ever play here. I don't think in Washington City you'll ever play marbles. But you play it this way? Really? I've never heard of this sort of game. This way? And do what? And chuck it on the ground? Really? Well, back home, we play it this way. You know, strike a marble and then. And he used to do it well. Pardon? Throw it like that. Well, these are different games we used to play at Baba. And in the afternoon, as usual, we'd have a very good meal. And during the meal, Baba would be in the Mehrabad Hall. You know the Mehrabad Hall, the lower one. And am I audible, the train passing again? I never knew so many trains pass by here, you know. I thought one passes in 5 days or something. That was so exciting. I was told that. Really? Oh. So while we were having lunch and enjoying the food, of course, and suddenly Baba arrives with a big basket of puris. You know what's puris? Puris. It's sort of fried bread, you know, made out of wheat. And small pieces were that. So Baba comes around. Somebody was holding a whole basket full of these puris. It's eaten instead of bread. We don't eat bread over there. Normally we don't eat. Abnormally we do. So, that's freshly made, and it's really good. Some of you have gone to the UP side. Well, the size of the puri from that becomes that big. And they are really good, nice things, you know, to eat when they're absolutely fresh. Of course, if it gets stale, it becomes like a rubber, you know. So anyway, Baba came around with these puris serving us. And he was giving everybody two, you know. And that was his prasad. You know what is a prasad? The prasad is a gift from the master. Well, when he came to me, I held out my hands and he gave me the puris. And then he said, do you know how fortunate, this was his gesture for being fortunate, do you know how fortunate you people are that here I am God serving you these puris? There are people in the Himalayas who are sitting there praying for years together, shedding tears of blood, and yet they do not even have a glimpse of me. And here I am amongst you, serving you puris. So, that's from Baba, you know. So, we really, at that time, never understood the depth of these words. It's only later on, when one felt really that Baba was God in human form, that we were so lucky to be with Baba, to eat with him, to play with him, to sleep with him, to do everything with him. It was really a good fortune. And at that time, Baba said, I remember once he was in Rishikesh, and he was passing along. You know, Rishikesh is one of the most holy places in India, as Baba puts it down, and it's way up in the Himalayas. And over there, once Baba was passing through the woods, and he looked at a cave, and Baba pointed in the cave, there were three yogis sitting there, with long beards, with the eyelashes coming down like that. And Baba pointed them and said, these three have been sitting here since 600 years, praying to God, and they know not what is love even that much. So you can imagine the path, there are so many paths to the goal, and the one that Baba taught us through love is the easiest and the best way, because it gives you so much joy. And these people were sitting there in meditation for 600 years and they do not know what love means. So you can imagine how lucky all of us are to have this love. And I really am surprised to meet so many people here in the West who have never seen Baba, and how Baba seems to have entered their very hearts and lives so that they have really become sources of inspiration to others. I really congratulate you people here. Because not having met Baba physically, yet that degree of love that many of you all have here is really touching. So well, we played with Baba, we ate with Baba, and in the afternoon, after lunch, we would all have a snooze. Not me. I would always go, Baba's order was, don't come near the hall, or don't come on the veranda. You know the two verandas on the front and the back side of the veranda. And don't come on the verandas. While Baba was in the hall, during lunchtime, Baba would hardly eat anything in the afternoon. Normally, you know Baba, he had a cup of tea in the morning, a little rice, that much, with a little dal, we call it dal, that's just lentil soup, and tea in the evening or a biscuit if Mera forced him. That's all that he used to eat. I really wonder how he used to eat that dal and rice all through his life, you know. Thank God he didn't give us those orders, you know. So, the first day he came round serving us puris. But after that, he would go into the hall and he would walk from one corner to another diagonally, you know, at such speed you cannot imagine. Well, Baba's orders were not to come to the hall or the veranda, so I would stand way out in the open and watch Baba. And, you know, if you've ever seen a match, you know, a tennis match, and how everybody's head goes from this way to that way, and that's how my head would be going, because Baba would be walking so fast right through the hall diagonally. And he'd be so busy, you know, with his fingers, you know, the usual thing with his fingers. God knows what he used to do like that, you know. That is his way of working, I suppose. And at times he would just look up and say, come in, but don't make noise. So I'd come in and sit down every day till 1:30. 1:30, everybody else was allowed to come. So I'd come and sit inside, and my head would go this way, this way, this way, this way. Not a word was spoken, but Baba would be walking at such speed. And I remember when Baba used to walk with us, we'd have to run at times. I'm taller than Baba, and yet he would walk at some tremendous speed. Well, after 1:30, he'd clap, and everybody would have to come inside. Well, as soon as everybody came inside, the first question would be, keep wide awake. This was his gesture for being wide awake. You know, keep your eyes open now. Don't go to sleep. So he would say, will somebody tell us a story so that he keeps awake, everybody keeps awake. And then somebody would come out with, we had one fellow called Mr. Rawal from Gujarat, that's from where I come from. And that man, his face, if you saw his face, you'd feel like laughing. And the stories that he would tell, gosh, it was just splitting your sides, you know, with laughter. And, you know, from the first day, for 5 days, he began his story and he never finished it. And Baba would give him about 15 minutes to talk, and everybody would be laughing, and so would Baba be also. And every day, Baba would be putting his hand on his face and saying, you sit down, otherwise I might break my silence, you know, laughing over here. And he would really tell such a nice story. On the fifth day when Baba said, sit down, he says, Baba, what about the rest of the story? Baba says, after 700 years, when I come back, you can tell me the remaining, you know. Well, there was another guy, one day he got up, no names. Well, he got up and told a very, very vulgar story. You want to hear that? Okay, some other time we'll tell you that. Well, it was a nice story, I'll tell you a thing. You know, Baba always enjoyed, because he came down, as I said yesterday, that he came down to a human level, you know, to our level and talked with us. And that's why there was an interplay of love between us. Otherwise, if he sat at a very high level, behaving as if he was God in human form, and we as something on the earth, you know, just like that, it would never click. So, this fellow got up, he was way back, you know, Baba, you know Baba's chair where he sits in the Mehrabad Hall. And the other opposite end, behind at that wall, there was this gentleman sitting there. He got up, Baba, I want to tell you a story. This was after that Mr. Rawal sat down. So Baba says, you really want to tell a story? He says, yes, Baba. So he told this story. And gosh, how everybody laughed. Well, I'll tell you the story. It's a nice one. It's no children around, so it doesn't matter. He said, one day, there was one Mr. Surabji in Bombay who suddenly was absolutely normal, going to work and coming back, and suddenly he got a pain in his testicle. As soon as he said testicle, everybody began to laugh. And then he right away went to some Dr. Rustamji. Dr. Rustamji was a big surgeon in Bombay at that time, and he went there and got himself checked. And the doctor said, well, Surabji, there is some big trouble with you and it needs to be operated upon. So you better get yourself admitted. So Surabji was admitted, and the next morning he was taken into the operation theater. Well, the doctor began to operate upon him. This is the story this man is telling us. And everybody is laughing, you know. And the story was that the Dr. Rustamji began to operate upon him and took out the testicle and looked at it, and he said, well, it needs to be exposed to the sun's rays. So, he put it on the windowsill for some time till the rays would, it would take the rays. And then by the time he said, well, what are you going to do till then? So they had a cup of coffee. So the anesthetist, the surgeon, and the nurse were all busy having a cup of coffee. And after the coffee was over, the surgeon says, well, come on, let's get the testicle back into its place. And when the nurse went to see on the window, a crow had taken away the testicle. What's going to happen now? They were in a big fix. What are they going to tell Surabji about it? So, well, they were discussing now what's going to be done about it. Suddenly, Dr. Rustamji's dog came along in the theater. And looking at him, he said, oh, that's one idea. Let's get his testicle out and put it back into Surabji. So the surgeon immediately got this testicle out and put it into Surabji and stitched him up and sent him to the room. Well, the next morning, Surabji was asked. Surabji says, everything is fine, doctor, no pain, nothing at all. And Rustamji was quite worried about it. Well, 8 days later, after the stitches were removed, he went home and he was called for a checkup after 8 days. When Surabji came back after 8 days, Rustamji says, well, Surabji, how are you feeling? Everything all right? He says, doc, everything's perfect, but there's only one trouble. What's the trouble? He says, When I go to fiddle, somehow my leg goes up. Oh. Well, Baba enjoyed these jokes. It kept everybody awake, definitely it did. And then one of the boys overslept one day, and Baba went to wake him up in his tent, you know. And Baba and 150 of us followed Baba, and Baba went right up to that snoring boy and picked up a blade of grass and tickled him in his nose, you know. And that boy in his sleep is doing this, and then again Baba did that, and again he's doing that, and finally Baba gave him a big dig, and he got up with a fright. He never overslept again, you know. So these are the mischiefs Baba used to have. There were serious moments also. He would talk of serious things also. I remember once singer sang a ghazal of Simab. You've heard of Simab? Just like Hafiz, the Simab is a great poet. So Baba enjoyed that ghazal so much. Ghazal is a spiritual song. And he enjoyed that ghazal so much. As soon as the ghazal was over, Baba says, "I have just given liberation to Simab." Simab was living many, many years back. Probably he was having number of births and deaths. But at that moment, Baba said, "I've just liberated him." So there were serious moments also when serious discourses were also given, and everybody enjoyed Baba's company. But somehow or the other, I felt that these boys, the Parsi boys who were there with Baba, I really felt that they were too free with Baba. I was a serious guy somehow or the other, but I felt these boys were too free with Baba, cracking jokes and playing mischief with Baba, and I somehow didn't like that. Because at least that respect should be for Baba. And so this was going on in my mind for 5 days. And on the last day or the last but one day, Baba called me and said, "Do you know all of these 150 boys that are here? Each one loves me so much that if I ask him to cut his throat, he'll cut his throat and give it to me." Baba was trying to tell me that this is their nature. But inside, the depth of their love is so great.